your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
The views and opinions expressed by the host and tonight's guest are not necessarily those of this radio network, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Listener discretion is advised. Now lock your doors, open your minds, and prepare yourself to go
beyond the edge.
It's Sunday night. Time for the hottest alternative talk radio on the planet. Welcome to Beyond the Edge Radio. 2 hours of fascinating guests, mind-blowing topics, and stimulating conversation. All here on your home for the best alternative talk radio. This is Beyond the Edge Radio. Nervous? Scared? Don't be afraid. The wait will be over soon. Sit down, strap in, and hold on tight. You're about to be taken beyond the edge.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of Beyond the Edge Radio, live here on the Para-X Radio Network. It is Sunday night, it is 8 p.m., and it's March the 23rd, 2014. Welcome to BTE Radio. We've got a great show tonight in store for everybody. My name is Eric Altman, your host and producer of tonight's program, and allow me to introduce your co-host and your color commentator co-host, the one and only Sean Forker. Good evening, Sean. How you doing?
I am much better this week. Ready for action. I'm here, and I'm not an alcoholic.
That's good to know. And, of course, your co-host has now been with us going on 4 years, and he is the author of a blog called Phantoms and Monsters. He also runs Astral Perceptions, and he is an author, radio co-host. He's been interviewed on multiple radio shows and appearing on television, Monsters and Mysteries in America. I almost said Mountain Monsters, but no. Not that horrible show. Monsters and Mysteries in America. He is the one and only Lon Strickler. Good evening, Lon. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, everyone. I hope we have a great show, and I'm sure we will.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun show tonight. This gentleman I've known for a while, and I've known him through a mutual friend slash colleague by the name of Robert W. Morgan.
True believer.
Yes, and Robert has been kind of an inspiration to me. He was doing research in the Pacific Northwest dating as far back as the early 1970s. And there was a Bigfoot movie that came out in the mid to late 1970s that featured Robert in it. And he released a field guide to encounters with the forest giants, a couple books on Bigfoot, actually. And this gentleman that's going to be joining us tonight, his name is Steve Jones. Steve worked very closely with Robert in mid-Ohio during the 1990s and into the early 2000s. Steve is also a member of a group called Team Spectre. He's got 30 years in television and radio experience broadcasting, and he has his own outdoor radio show, which we'll talk to him about a little bit later on. But he's going to be joining us at the bottom of the hour, and I'm really looking forward to having Steve on the program tonight, gentlemen.
Me too.
Yeah, this will be an interesting show. I mean, this is a guy that's not really well known, but, you know, he's got a lot behind him. So I'll be interested to see. And, in fact, he's also an experiencer, so that's great, too.
Oftentimes we find that these lesser-known folks tend to be the most interesting guests.
That is true. That is very true. And I've heard Steve, he used to work, he did a radio show for Robert W. Morgan. If you remember, it was on, if you can't help me out here, Sean, M.K. Davis took over it, but Robert
Bigfoot
hosted
Central.
It. Thank you. And he did that a long time ago, probably, 2004 and 5, maybe?
Oh, it's been a long time, yeah.
Yeah, and Steve helped not only produce, but he worked very closely with Robert on that show. So, as I said, he's been around the block. He really knows his Bigfoot research. He's had a couple of sightings, a multiple number of ghost sightings, and he's going to be joining us tonight at the bottom of the hour.
Well, we're excited.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. Before I get into announcements, there's a couple things I'd like to just put out there very quickly. And first and foremost, I want to say a very heartfelt and very special thank you to all the kind people who were very supportive, sent me well wishes, sent my wife well wishes. She was in the hospital last week, wishing her a speedy recovery. She is out of the hospital and doing much better, so thank you for that. Also, thank you to the kind folks out there who dropped me condolences and prayers and thoughts for the loss of our cat, Bear, who passed away on Tuesday earlier this week. So I want to thank you for that as well. And I want to say and also a very special thank you to all the people who supported me, gave me words of encouragement, and tuned in last night at 1 a.m. when I was a guest with Dave Schrader on Coast to Coast AM. That was a real thrill for me, the first time being on the show. And I had a fun time. I can't say I knocked it out of the park, but I did the best I could. I was a little nervous, as you probably could tell, but did the best I could with the show, and I got some very nice compliments and nice feedback on it. So thank you very much to everybody who listened. If you want to catch that archived episode, it's hour one of last night's show, March 23rd. You can go to coasttocoastam.com, and you can subscribe to become a member, listen to the show. You can get it there on iTunes. There's a variety of different places you can catch last night's hour one of Coast to Coast AM with Dave Schrader. So that's all I've got, guys, as far as thank yous. We do have some interesting guests coming up, if you'd like me to throw out who's going to be on the show.
Well, let's give them a rundown, Eric, shall we?
Okay. Well, coming up on March 30th, next week, we're going to have an attorney and a Freemason. His name is Robert Sullivan IV. He's going to be talking about the occult and Freemasonry, and he's written a book called The Royal Arch of Enoch, The Impact of Masonic Ritual, Philosophy, and Symbolism. And really looking forward to that because I've always found the Masonic right and the Freemasons very interesting, and there's always been a little air of controversy surrounding them, and I'd like to try to find out if any of the rumors that we often hear about are in fact true or not.
We're gonna have to get another lawyer on too.
Well, I've had my run-ins with some of the occult over the years, and there's always been implications to the Masons, so I don't know. I just go from what I hear or from what I get in my research. But, we're going to have a lot of good questions for him. I'm quite sure.
Something we've wanted to talk about for some time that we've not really dived into too deep.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be an interesting show next week. Just a very quick rundown for April. We only have three shows airing in April, as I'm going to be away April the 13th for Phenomicon. But April 6th, we're having Sylvia Schultz, a new guest to the program. She's going to be talking about a book that she has written called Fractured Spirits, Hauntings at the Peoria State Hospital in Illinois. Did I say that right? Peoria?
Peoria, yep.
Okay. She's going to be talking about that book and some of the ghost tales from the haunted hospital. April 13th, there will be no live show that night. It'll be a repeat, one of our BTE archive shows. April 20th, our good friend and colleague J.C. Johnson is returning to the program from the Crypto Four Corners group. We love having J.C. on. He's always great to talk to. And he's bringing along a special guest, Chief Leonard Dan of the Navajo Indian Tribe down there, one of the chiefs of the Navajo Indian Tribe down there in the Four Corners area. So that's going to be exciting.
It'll be good to have Chief Dan on the program with us.
Most definitely. And then wrapping up April, our very own paranormal news correspondent Amy Perry will be joining us as we discuss the paranormal news all night long on the 27th.
Now, Eric, you and I will be at Phenomenology, or the Phenomicon, whatever we're calling it this year.
Yeah, Amy's going to be there. You're going to be there. I'm going to be there. Lon, you're still up in the air if you're going to drop by or not.
Don't know yet, but I'm in.
Oh, there you go. We might get a surprise visit from Lon. So if you're going to be at Phenomicon, please stop by our table and say hello. I found out yesterday from Chris Wingard that I'm going to be speaking at Phenomicon and conducting the Bigfoot Experience. And I'll be taking people out in the forest, a nearby forest close to Gettysburg, and showing them, taking them on a hike and telling them Bigfoot stories and encounters, plus showing them a possible sign what to look for when you're in the forest that may indicate a Bigfoot has been in the area. So that's going to be a fun event on Sunday, April the 13th.
Yeah, that'll be pretty cool. It's up in Caledonia, which is where you were there this weekend, actually. It's a nice place. It really is. Even if you don't see any Bigfoot sign, you'll enjoy the place. It's a very beautiful park, and it's some place I've been going to all my life. But it's got a lot of stories, and You know, and, you know, not really sure if it's all Bigfoot or not, but there have definitely been some sightings.
Yeah, that's true. There have been sightings up there. It is a very interesting park, and I really enjoyed the hike I did with Chris and Terry Shipman yesterday. The three of us went out and hiked about 5 miles throughout the park on different trails and just tried to become a little familiar with the park. And, man, that place is overgrown with rhododendrons and mountain laurel and just thick brush and briars everywhere. And spring just sprung a couple weeks ago, you know, earlier this week, actually. And, man, that park is already starting to turn green.
Yeah, when it starts, when the rhododendron and the laurel start to bloom in there, it's pretty neat. And that very well may happen about the time you're up there. So, it, like I said, yeah, it's really nice. There's a creek that runs through it called Conococheek, and I've been fly fishing that creek ever since I was a kid, and it's an amazing place. It's got a soft spot in my heart.
And you've gotten some reports out of the park as well, Lon, that you have up on
Fans. Yeah, I have. I've gotten several reports, and not too long ago. It seems that, well, Route 30 runs right adjacent to the park, which is the old Lincoln Highway. And it seems from some of the reports I've gotten over the years that the Bigfoot kind of travel up and down, you know, off the road, you know, just off into the brush. And pick up roadkill, mostly deer. So, and that's been observed. And so I think the reports have been pretty reliable. So I'm quite, like you said, there have been some tracks in there as well. So State Forest has also been considered a hot spot, you know, Caledonia's within that park.
Oh, yeah. So, and the Waynesboro tracks from 2001, multiple sightings throughout the Mishaw. I know Rick Fisher has done a lot of research in that area. Our good friend Errol and Pat Dundor, they've done research in that area. Lon, I know you've spent a lot of time in that park. It's a beautiful place. And at Phenomicon on April 13th, I'll be taking a group out there into the park to hike and to look for signs of Bigfoot and share some Bigfoot stories with them. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it'll be very enjoyable.
Most definitely.
I'm looking forward to it.
Just another couple quick announcements here. A couple events coming up in the next couple of weeks. This coming weekend, Saturday, March 29th, The Unexplained. It's an event featuring Bigfoot, UFOs, paranormal researchers speaking at the Crossroads Branch Library Auditorium in Cambridge, Ohio. It's being presented by the Southeastern Ohio Society for Bigfoot Investigations, also known as SOSB. It is open to the public, free event, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. that day. They will welcome in paranormal researchers, UFO researchers such as Fred Saluga, cryptid researchers such as myself, Brian Seach, Linda Godfrey, there's a big name for you. I believe
Linda.
Jody Cook is going to be there. A lot of vendors' tables, and there'll be 50-50 drawings, a lunch stand, and a whole lot more. To find out more about the event, you can email Doug and the SOSB members at southeasternohiobigfoot@gmail.com. Again, southeasternohiobigfoot@gmail.com. And then 2 weeks from yesterday, this will be April the 5th, it's the 7th Annual Butler Paranormal Conference taking place at the Tanglewood Senior Center, 10 Austin Avenue in Lindora, just outside of downtown Butler, Pennsylvania. It's being sponsored by the Butler Organization for Research of the Unexplained and the Center for Unexplained Events, also known as Q. The event will run from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Doors open I believe, 9:30. Admission is $10 to get in, with $1 off if you give a donation to the Butler County Food Bank. It has to be a non-perishable food item. The scheduled lineup of speakers for the event is Dr. Paul Johnson. He's a chemistry professor at Duquesne University in Pittsburgh, and he'll be talking about the paranormal. Does the paranormal mimic quantum reality? Paul is a... I think he's going on 40 years of research in UFOs and the Bigfoot phenomenon. Fred Saluga, who was a guest on the show about a month back, he's going to be talking about the UFO and Bigfoot connection. Patty Wilson, who's been a multiple-time guest on our program and an author, she's going to be talking about ghosts versus demons. And Sheila Forrester, UFO researcher, she's going to be talking about UFOs and their spiritual mission. And just added to the event, our good friend, the paranormal pastor, Reverend Robin Swope, will be there talking on the Slender Man. A great lineup of speakers, and also including vendors, book signings, door prizes, raffles, get your pictures taken with the men in black, and a whole lot more. For more information, you can go to the BORU website. That's www.boru-ufo.com. Again, boru-ufo.com. Or you can go to Brian and Terry's website, which is centerfrontexplainedevents.com, and you can find out lots of information there. I'll be attending the 7th Annual Butler Paranormal Conference. However, I will not be speaking. I'll just have a table. So,
well, take the drive to Butler. You might see the gargoyle.
Yeah. Yeah. And speaking of which, I didn't mention this last week on the show, but the gentleman that we've been talking to who had the experience in Butler County, he was actually at the Cabela's event.
I know. Oh, I heard about it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I got a chance to talk with him in great length, and he's agreed to take us out and show us where these things have happened and allow us to come up and camp up there in the area. So we'll be making future plans with this gentleman.
Good. Very good.
That's the announcements I have, guys. Thanks for your tolerance and your patience there. I appreciate it.
About time you shut the hell up. No, I'm kidding. Every week I sit here for 25 to 30 minutes, and you talk and talk and talk.
I do.
That's okay. I still love it.
I did want to make one announcement. I was asked by General Johnson at Grendel Films to mention a film that they're working on called Ashy Shadow, and it's an independent film, and it's based on a murder in 1934 of a woman in rural Florida, and it's an all volunteer project. And you can find out by going to the website, and that's at www.indiegogo.com/projects/Ashley-S-Shadow, or you can go to the website, which I don't have right now, but you can go and go to Google and just put Ashley Shadow film, and it should bring you there. So they're looking for funds to get the project cost covered on it. But I told John I'd mention this for him.
Not a problem. I'm familiar with John's work. I have a couple of his Bigfoot documentaries, one on the Patterson-Gimlin film and the independent researcher documentary put out a few years ago.
Uh-huh.
So, best of luck to John and his project, and yeah, we'll be happy to mention it, kind of give people an update and let them know what's going on.
Yep.
Exactly. Updating. That's what we like to do here.
That's right. Sean, do you have anything else you want to discuss?
No, I guess you're hitting everything on the head. A lot of activities next month, of course. We have the Phenomicon, and then at the end of the month, we have the Ohio Bigfoot Conference.
Yes, and I didn't mention that because I didn't want to get too far ahead in the events, but that is something that you and I will be attending.
Yep, Eric and I will be there to show our support to the Bigfoot community. Always a good time in Salt Fork State Park in Ohio. I'm going to enjoy myself this year. Eric got a lot of free time going on. I might try to make the BORU event there in Butler County. Lots of stuff going on in April, and the rest of the summer we're going to be building up a great lineup for our listeners here. So hopefully they'll tune in each and every week and listen to what we have to say and what our guests have to say and grow the Beyond the Edge radio listening audience.
Which incidentally reminds me, we're going to be broadcasting our podcast, our archive shows, once again on Planet Paranormal, thanks to Bob Davis. I'm currently working on getting that up and running again, and there'll be archive shows up on that website, planetparanormal.com, very, very soon. So we want to say thank you to Bob for once again allowing us to bring you more BTE radio in more ways.
And, just take a minute. I'd like to find out what our listeners want more of. I know a lot of time we put surveys up and we do a lot in changing the website, But I want to know directly from them what they want. So, folks, if you're listening out there, email us, beyondtheedgeradio@gmail.com. Go to our Facebook page at Beyond the Edge Radio. Let us know what you want. We want to bring you the best in alternative talk radio and paranormal entertainment, and it all starts with the feedback we get from you. And we make a pledge to make Beyond the Edge Radio free for everyone. We don't charge. The only thing we require as payment is your feedback. And we love it, and keep it coming.
Now, we have had several guests on the show that have been guest requests, like Kiawani Lapsaritis, and just to name one of them. And many others have been on the show thanks to your requests and suggestions. And we do have a stellar lineup. We're booking into June right now, and we have folks that are requesting to be on the show. And we've got a great lineup of people that are going to be joining us in the next couple of months. We'll be talking to Christopher Balzano again and Aaron Cadu. They put a documentary film out about the Bridgewater Triangle. And I know that's a very interesting subject here on BTE Radio to not only our listeners, but us as well. So we'll be talking to them. There's some other great guests coming on the show. I don't have the list right in front of me, but just keep an eye on the BTE Radio website, and a lot of good stuff coming up.
Yep. Of course, more changes coming to the Beyond the Edge Radio website. We're going to have a good time here this summer, getting back into what we do best. And I'm just excited.
Crazy.
Driving people crazy. I'm all excited. I'm just verklempt at the moment.
You are.
Every time I go to say something, I forget.
That's every day.
Shut up. You're fired. I'm kidding.
Talk to your attorney. Before
right.
we go to break, Lon, and we've got a few minutes, I just wanted to run by you and see if there's anything new going on at Phantoms and Monsters you could share with us.
We mentioned last week a bit about the about this Malaysia flight 370. And, you know, I really had figured they had something figured out by now. But, you know, this whole thing has gotten really crazy. And, you know, I did put a post up the other day, you know, kind of going over what has and has been seen and some things I've gotten from aeronautic experts and some of their thoughts. And I tell you, I don't know really what to make of this thing now. You know, I was saying that, you know, we all let the officials do their jobs, not muddy the water with speculation and conspiracy theories. But, you know, unfortunately, you know, those in charge of this investigation have kind of screwed the pooch, basically. The media's been offered like piecemeal information, so the conjecture in the news outlets is just really unbelievable.
Rampant speculation, Lon. It's all over the place. All week, you know, they thought they had something going on here at the end of the month and down around, was it Australia, the coast of Australia?
About 1,500 miles south. West of Perth, Australia, which is out in Western Australia. Yeah.
And I guess that's been fruitless so far.
Well, the Chinese have said they see something else out there. They did find a wooden pallet with some straps on it, but that could have come off a ship, you know.
Well, you know, the thing that really ticks me off is, like, Thailand was sitting on information.
Yeah.
For, like, 10 days. And they could have put that information out there, and they didn't, of course, because, you know, politics have to play involved in everything, human lives and not being able to get to the bottom of this. So we'll just sit on information we've had for 10 days, and then we'll put it out.
There was a very interesting guest on Darkness Radio the other night that I heard talking with Dave Schrader. This guy was a pilot, and he served in the military. He was a commercial airline pilot for 30 years, and he threw out some very, very interesting information. And he brought up some interesting points, which really make me think, based on what he said, that the plane did not crash. It was actually hijacked and flown to another country and landed, because he had stated that both the boxes in the airplane were turned off. They weren't deactivated or, you know, blown up from an accident. They were physically turned off. And
yeah,
the plane made a 130-degree turn. And if there was something wrong with one of the rudders or one of the wings, that plane would have continued to turn. It wouldn't have turned and just stopped and straightened out. So somebody was piloting that plane to make that turn. And so he brought up some other interesting points that really make me wonder if maybe that plane hadn't been hijacked.
Well, you know, I had gotten some information from at least one gentleman, and who I know is in the know about, especially a Boeing 777. And he told me basically that that the Boeing Model 777, which includes the 200, 300, and 300ER series, you know, have that Boeing had made an attempt to enable the increasing of connectivity with external network sources. And in other words, they were looking to be able to have a way of remotely flying this plane. Now, you know, the statement I got from it was intervention may enable the exploitation of network security vulnerabilities and increased risk potential, resulting in unsafe conditions for the airplanes and occupants. And they were talking about the ACAR system are among, you know, those in the plane that authorities have acknowledged are possibly compromised or can be compromised remotely. So, you know, you start thinking about that. Then there was something else that came up that, you know, makes you think, like on August 21st of 2012, Boeing applied for permission to change the equipment to be installed as part of the onboard data network system upgrade on the 777 series of planes. According to the information listed in the Federal Register, and I've got the link, the Exista, quote, data network and design integration may result in security vulnerabilities from intentional or unintentional corruption of data and systems critical to the safety and maintenance of the airplane. So, you know, here we're getting information that, and, you know, every expert that I've seen on TV or read has said it's impossible to remotely control this airplane, you know, from outside the airplane. But apparently, 2 years ago, you know, they've been stating that they're even Boeing stating that there is a possibility that it could be done. So I don't know. I mean, you know, is this something that they're just not telling people?
Well, one thing I found interesting that this pilot named Jim that was on Darkness Radio brought up is that the door to the pilot's cabin is almost impenetrable. Once it gets locked and shut, unless there's a bomb, nobody's getting in that cabin.
Right.
And the plane can fly on autopilot. You don't need pilots to fly the plane. It can fly for hours until it runs out of fuel on autopilot. And apparently, after the plane disappeared for radar, they continued to get a ping from one of the transponders on the plane for about 4 or 5 hours. So that plane apparently didn't crash. It continued to ping response back to the tower. Not a radar where they could locate it, but they were getting a ping signal back indicating the plane's engines were still operating. So another thing that was interesting that was added. So I don't know what happened to the plane. I hope to God that somebody did hijack the plane. They landed and the passengers were released or you know are still alive. I really hope that's the case. But I don't know if we'll be able to find out anytime soon.
Well, you know, from what I was told, the planes had to have flown at least 7 hours after the contact was lost because, like you said, Boeing, in the automated maintenance reports to Boeing, that there's something on that plane that automatically sends a ping to Boeing every hour to let them know that everything on the plane is working okay.
Right. That's what he was talking
about.
And
they were receiving that. Yeah, that's true. So, you know, figure that out.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if we'll find it anytime soon. It's a very controversial subject right now, and a lot of theories being thrown about. Even the UFO abduction theory has been thrown out there. We've heard it pretty much all. And we'll keep an eye on this story, and we'll see how it develops, and we'll continue to discuss it as things, you know, come up.
Oh, I'm quite sure the speculation is going to continue, and some other unbelievable scenarios if no debris is found as well. So hang on. That's all I can say.
We will see. It's the bottom of the hour now, 8:30 here on the East Coast, March 23rd. This is BTE Radio, Beyond the Edge Radio, and we are live on the Para X Radio Network. Our guest is coming up in just a few minutes. His name is Steve Jones. He is a radio television host for over 30 years, paranormal investigator, a Bigfoot field researcher and experiencer. He has been doing this work for a long, long time. As I said, he has over 30 years experience in the radio television industry. He currently is the host of Destination Outdoors, which can be heard on Fox Sports 1350 AM in Ohio Mondays at 6 and seen on TV Mondays at 6 p.m. on the Armstrong cable system. He's been researching Bigfoot since 1990 and saw his first creature in 1992. He has been researching the paranormal since 2007, and in 2008, he joined Team Spectre on a few local ghost investigations. The most important thing Steve has learned in all of his years of paranormal research is that you have to be skeptical of everything you see and hear. Not every shadow in the woods or bump in the night is a ghost or a Bigfoot. Steve has seen enough over the years to believe that there are earthbound spirits that coexist with us. Some seem to be stuck here, while others seem not to know why they are here, why they are dead, or have no intentions of leaving because of unfinished business. You can check out his pages, TeamSpectreOnline.com. That's Team Spectre, spelled S-P-E-C-T-R-E, online.com. And NewsMediaConsultantsLLC.com/index.html. And if you can't remember that, just go to our website, beyondtheedgeradio.com. On the main page, scroll down. You'll see links there that will take you right to those pages. So, gentlemen, what do you say we head to our first break of the night and we bring Steve on the air?
Take us out.
All right. You're listening to Beyond the Edge Radio, and we are live here on the Para X Radio Network. We'll be back after the break with Steve Jones. Stick around.
We'll be back with more from the bad boys of alternative talk radio.
Welcome back to tonight's program. This is the best in alternative talk radio, or at least our parents tell us that. Beyond the Edge Radio, we're live here on the Para X Radio Network. It is Sunday night, 8:37. We've got a humdinger of a show for you tonight. I like that word, humdinger. That's why I use it a lot. My name's... Don't start, Sean. Don't start. I heard that little remark. Welcome back to the program. My name's Eric Altman, your host and producer of tonight's show. With me, as always, Lon Strickler and Sean the Fork Chop Porker. We've got a great guest on the program tonight. He hails from Ohio. He has over 30 years in the broadcast industry in television and radio. He's a Bigfoot researcher, paranormal investigator, and he's spent a lot of time in the woods with one of my heroes, Robert W. Morgan. I've known this gentleman for quite some time, and it is a pleasure to finally have him on the show with us tonight. Please welcome to the program, Steve Jones. Good evening, Steve. How you doing, sir?
Oh, fantastic, Eric. Gentlemen, how are you tonight?
We're doing wonderful.
That's good. I appreciate you having me on the show.
We are glad that you're with us. Thanks for joining us. And let's jump right into things. I want to know, first of all, how you got involved with Bigfoot and how you got involved with Bob Morgan.
Eric, that's kind of a weird story. Back in the mid-70s when that movie came out, In Search of Bigfoot, my seventh grade science teacher took us to see that movie for just a class outing or whatever. And before that, I was still, seventh grade. I'd heard a little bit about Bigfoot and stuff like that, but, I really didn't know what to expect. And I saw this movie, and I said, holy crap, this is neat. And I wonder if they're around here, because I had heard of, sightings in Ohio before. And so we'll fast forward to 1990, when I was doing my, I started in radio in 1980. I kind of backed off of it in 87, just because the pay is horrible. And I was getting married, and I needed to get a better job. But I kind of, kept my hand in it part-time, and I was doing an outdoor show, hunting, fishing, camp, and, different stuff like that. And a book publisher called me one day, or contacted me, and said, hey, would you like to have a guy that, researches Bigfoot on your outdoor show? And I said, absolutely, man. I was so excited about having this person on the show, I forgot to ask the publisher who it even was. I didn't even care. So this Sunday night, in walks my studio, the guy whose career that I had tried to follow as much as possible. And you got to understand, back then, of course, Al Gore didn't create the internet until, what was it, 1995, something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
So, I mean, yeah. Yeah, that'll ride along with the global warming. It was kind of hard to get information about somebody as elusive as Robert W. Morgan. In walks a bald-headed guy with a goatee, and he introduces himself, "Hi, I'm Robert W. Morgan." And I'm telling you, I almost crapped my pants. Here's the guy that I've been following all these years, walks into my studio. And I'm telling you, I had no idea. Him and I hit it off. It was just like, I don't even know how to describe it. It was just like we were brothers, and like we had lived lives before together, and we were meeting up again in that next life. And it was just, I don't know. My world just turned around from there as far as the Bigfoot stuff goes. Robert instantly took me under his wing and said, look, my circle is very small. I'm willing to open up the door if you're willing to put the time in. And I said, oh my God, yes. And then in August 30th of 1992, we were in our research area, which, by the way, was at Salt Fork.
Ah.
August 30th, 1992, about 2 o'clock in the morning, I saw my very first Bigfoot.
Wow.
And estimated distance was about right around 25 yards.
That's pretty close.
Well, yeah. And let me tell you something, guys. This sighting took a lot of time and, regrettably, a lot of weekends away from my small kids. But I kind of had mixed emotions about leaving them, but I was just obsessed. We were working in an area that was, it was hotter than a firecracker, man. And the Bigfoot people were traveling through these areas. And we got to a point to where we could almost pinpoint when they were going to be there, where they were going to be, and where we needed to be in between where they were going and coming from.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much time we put into this thing. And, of course, the benefit was that I got to see a Bigfoot.
Well, let me ask you, Steve.
So,
I've been to the park. Oh, I can't even count how many times I've been out there. I've been going out there for almost a decade, maybe 12 years now. And I've done a lot of research in the park myself. I had a possible, and I say possible, sighting in 2008, because I don't know what it was. A lot of people tell me it was a Bigfoot, but I can't confirm that. But I'm curious to know where your sighting occurred at in the park, if you can share that with us.
It wasn't far from Hossack's Cave.
Okay.
It wasn't far at all. It's kind of weird because now it's just like, to even go down there anymore is almost impossible. We had hoaxers back then. We used to park our cars 2 or 3 miles away and walk to where we were going. We had people out there banging on pots and pans and hooping and hollering. And, you know, and quite frankly, they don't understand that they were actually doing us a favor. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it was crazy. But, I still get on there every now and then. But in my opinion, and everything that I'm going to say tonight, Eric, Sean, and Lon, is my opinion. I am not an expert in any of this, any way, shape, or form. I never try to convince anybody that the Bigfoots exist, that the UFO exists, that ghosts or spirit exist. I'm going to tell you my experience. You form your own opinion. And if you don't like what I hear, get out from off the couch and come out and follow me in the woods or follow me into that old home. And then, you know, you form your own opinion about what you see. I'm just going to tell you what I've experienced and what I believe it to be.
Well,
whatever.
That's all we can ask for. You know, I'm the exact same way. I don't claim to be an expert, never did, never will. I get out there and I do the research just like you have and many others do. And, you know, what I experience, I tell people, hey, take it for what it's worth. You know, take it for your own opinion. You make your own decision. I know Hozak's Cave very well. I've spent a lot of time there. And I even heard what I believe, in my opinion, to be a Bigfoot across the little inlet there on the opposite hillside. About 4 o'clock in the morning, something screamed at myself and another researcher so loud that I was just like, oh, my gosh, blown away when this thing roared. And the coyotes and just went crazy out there.
When I saw mine, what had happened is we went down, and I don't know what it was. When I was getting ready to leave, I told my wife, I said, I feel something about tonight. I feel it, and I don't know what it is. It's a strange feeling. And we get down there, and we had parked the cars, and, you know, we always try to do the same things. In that area at the time, we basically went through three phases of a relationship with the Bigfoot people that were there. First of all, they ignored us. Second, they tried to intimidate us, and believe me, they did a damn good job. But we stood firm. And then the third phase is that they tolerated us. And, you know, we never, and I know this sounds weird, but we never really took cameras. Recording devices back then were as big as a Volkswagen. It was hard to take stuff like that into the woods. I never wanted to, if I ever had the opportunity to get a close up of one of the Bigfoot people that were traveling through that area, I never wanted to bring something up to my face quickly or look like that it might be a weapon. So, you know, and quite frankly, what's a picture going to prove anyway? I mean,
well, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So, you know, we focused on creating that relationship and trying to turn that into a long-term relationship. We had many encounters prior to me seeing that one. Personally, in my mind, I don't think that going in and into the woods and knocking on trees and hooping and hollering and everything else is going to attract anything. Where I live right now in the part of Ohio, I got very lucky when I bought this house, the Bigfoot walked behind my house.
Nice.
They traveled behind my house. I had done research in this area prior to me buying this house, and I got this house, and I couldn't believe it. And me and my boys, we always go back, by the woods. We build a fire ring back there, and we hear them come through. We hear them come through. It's crazy. And, you know, what the one thing that we do, we don't go into the woods. We sit by the fire. We play music, and most of the time it's not Willie Nelson. We'll play Metallica, some different stuff like that, and let them come to us. And if they want to come in and interact, they will do it. But It's not going to happen if you're in the woods walking around and messing around.
Yeah,
but we wait for them to come.
I had moved to Newton Falls, Ohio in 1996, and I spent a year out there, and I drove around Mosquito Lake and West Branch, and I worked over in Akron, in Kent, mm-hmm. Ohio, actually, and I spent time driving by the military installation. The name escapes me. Ravenna, I believe it was.
It's the Ravenna Arsenal. They call it Camp Ravenna now. The National Guard took it over. It's 22,000 acres.
Yeah, I drove by that every day. And on my weekends off, this was before I actually started looking at these cases, I would drive around the back roads out there and look for sign and possible, you know, tracks or evidence. And, man, there is some crazy, crazy woods in central Ohio. There really is.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for whatever reason, Portage County, where I live in Ohio, is one of the hottest areas in Ohio for sightings.
Mm-hmm.
I've had National Guard guys tell me that they have had sightings in the arsenal. And of course, you got West Branch right there, Berlin. I've probably got 100 reports out of Berlin, probably that many or more out of West Branch. A lot of the areas around here. If people had any idea what was walking behind their house, if they had any idea, they would die. But, these guys have been doing this for tens of thousands of years. They've been sneaking around a lot, and they're very smart. As big as they are fleet of foot, and they are sneaky.
That is true. Lon or Sean, you guys have any questions
for Steve?
That's
how you survived. Pardon me?
Yeah, I was going to ask a question, Steve. Do you still keep in contact with Robert Morgan?
Yes, he is in Montana. He is finishing up a couple of scripts for movies, and he's still writing, and he's, I think Robert's like 76 or 77 now, and but we keep in contact, and he's still out Bigfooting, man. He's still out getting, but he wants to get these movies done, these scripts, and let me tell you something. If these things ever come to fruition, it's going to blow the lid off a lot of different things. Through Morgan, I've had the opportunity to meet some very interesting people. One of the most interesting people that I met was a gentleman by the name of Frank Sturgis. Frank Sturgis was one of the Watergate burglars.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Frank Sturgis was a double agent in Cuba. Frank Sturgis was at the Grassy Knoll when Kennedy was shot. He was in 1991, he was in Moscow when the coup went down. So we sat down and had a couple of Turkish coffees and a couple of brewskis, and I picked his brain about a lot of different things.
Wow.
But that's a whole nother radio show.
Yeah.
And some of the things, if I told you, I'd have to kill you. So,
well, tell Eric.
But,
I'm
yeah, thanks.
Yeah, Robert is doing well. He is doing well, and he is just kind of holed up right now because he's got his manager and his producer up his butt right now about getting these scripts finished.
Well, Eric, it's been a while since we talked to Robert Morgan.
We had him on the show back in 2008. I think it was.
That's a long time.
Yeah, a long time. And I've tried to have him back on again, but he's a hard man to get a hold of.
He is.
Yeah, they've got a gun to his head and said, you ain't lifting your head up until those scripts are done.
Well, so when you do talk to him, please give him our best.
I will do that. I will do that.
Steve, you had mentioned off the air that, you say you live in Portage County, and I know there's been a lot of UFO activity in that area for a long time. Mentioned something about UFO and Bigfoot connection. Can you expound on that somewhat?
Yeah, I'll tell you a story. I've only had one experience. I've always heard, and there's circles that believe, that the Bigfoot and the UFO do have a connection. this one experience that I had almost makes me believe that, almost.
Uh-huh.
I got a report. I had a guy call me, and he said, hey, you know, I was running my coon dogs out into the, you know, out in the woods there, and I saw this thing, and it made a noise like you wouldn't believe. My dogs just froze, and, you know, I said, okay, well, you know, I live pretty close by, so I would go out there and check it out. I called Robert and let him know, see what he had going on that night. I said, if I find anything, I'll give you a call, and we'll gather the troops, and we'll head out. Well, I went into the area that afternoon, and just I could tell that they had passed through there recently. I don't know if it was, you know, like the last night or a couple of nights ago when that guy was telling me, but I knew that they had been there. When I got there to park, and I don't know why, it was just kind of a partly cloudy day, but I saw something really weird up in the sky. And it kind of just sat there. Just it would move around a little bit. And, you know, guys, I tell you what, I've seen some freaky things in my life. I will never be one of those people that say, hey, if you saw a clown doing a moonwalk down Main Street sometime at noon, I would say, oh, that's impossible. Anything is possible. Uh-huh. Anything. So I came out of the woods. We went in at night. Two of us drove down there. We had about, I don't know, five or six people with us. And we spent, it was probably four and a half, 5 hours in the woods. We came out about 2 o'clock. And the whole night that we were in the woods, I could see through the trees in some places, and that thing was still in the sky. It was still there. So I told Robert about it, and he said, just keep your eye on it. Just keep your eye on it. So when we got ready to leave, we got in the cars and pulled out of the parking lot and onto the side road, pulled out onto the main road, and both our cars, not one, both died instantly. Instantly. It was just like that thing in the Close Encounters of the Third Kind when Richard Dreyfuss was sitting there and just all the energy sucked out of his car or his truck.
Yeah, on the railroad tracks, yeah.
Now, things didn't start flying around. Things didn't start flying around, yeah. But, I mean, both cars died instantly, both.
Hmm.
So we got out, and we just kind of stood there for a few minutes and saw this thing, and it was still up in the sky. Well, a couple of minutes later, went by, and this thing, I mean, the glow was crazy. It just glowed and then shot across the sky and gone. We got into our cars, started up, and left. So, is there a connection? I don't know. But that night, there was something there that drained the energy out of our cars.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Well,
and I've never
told
that story.
There have been so many sightings of Bigfoot and then coincide by UFO or vice versa. You know, people like researchers like Stan Gordon have been saying this for years, that there's a connection. I think others are starting to realize that it very well may be a connection. I believe there's a connection. You know, I think there's a connection with a lot of things of the paranormal. I'm even talking about spiritual and,
sure,
and non-terrestrial. I think there's a lot of stuff connected with this. And, you know, are we ever going to find out how to, well, you know, I think we're getting close, you know, but you know that, you know, your story, it is actually kind of similar to a lot of what people say.
Well, I'm going to tell you another story. I'm going to tell you another story that happened to me, and this takes us to a whole nother realm of things. Not long after, it was June 17th, 1993. I'll never forget it. It was just a few months after my first encounter. And I kind of left some things out of my first encounter. I'll tell you this story, then we'll kind of go back to that night at Salt Fork, if you guys don't mind.
Uh-huh.
I went to sleep as I normally would this night, and it was snowing like crazy, and it was just I don't know, it was a miserable night. Well, I had this dream that somebody was calling my name. And in my dream, I was walking down this road that I was not familiar with at all. And it was snowing like crazy. And, you know, I was, it was just miserable. And I walked past, I ran into this yellow farm gate, okay, that kind of blocked off a farm drive. And I heard somebody yelling, "Steve, Steve." So I climbed over that gate and I started walking up this farm drive. Now on the right, I had noticed it was kind of a moonlit night in a way. I could see enough to where I could see that they were timbering out some trees on the right hand side. Then on the left was, kind of like a field and then a creek, and then even farther was a big patch of pine. Big. It was a huge patch. And I'm walking up this road, and right at the end of this road are six Bigfoot. Now, what I have to assume is the daddy, the mama, there was two little ones, and there was two older ones, and they were kind of grayish, and you can just tell that they were a little bit older. And the daddy comes up to me, and you know, I could hear him talking to me. I really didn't see his lips moving or anything, but I can see his face. I can still see his face. And he said, "I need your help." And I said, "What in the world would you need my help for?" And he says, "I need to build a shelter. I need to build a shelter." And I said, "My God, look at you. Look at the size of you. Why would you need me?" He said, "Steve, I need your help." I said, what do we do? And he said, "Follow me." So we went down across this field to the left. We crossed that creek and went up into those pines. And he's up there busting pines off like you ain't never seen. The little one's helping us, and they're handing me stuff, and we're building this lean-to. And it was a good-sized lean-to. And make a long story short, once we got done, we got everybody into this lean-to safe and sound and everything else, and he walks me back up to that end of that road. And, you know, I'm telling, dude, I got so many questions to ask you. When can I see you again? When can we meet again? And he looked at me, and all I hear, and I can still hear these words, he said, "When the time is right." And then, boom, there's a white light, and I wake up in my bed. Dream over, I thought. What was weird was that, you know, my feet was cold, my hands were cold. It was just like I had just come in from outside, and I was under three blankets. So I just kind of sloughed it off and said, "Man, that was a great freaking dream." Well, in March, Morgan gives me a call. He says, "Steve, we got a hot call. We got a hot tip. You want to go?" And I said, "Absolutely." So we took off. We're driving down into an area that I had never really been before. But things started looking familiar. It was weird. It was like one of those deja vu things, you know? And all of a sudden, I wasn't driving. I was in the back seat. Another guy and Morgan were up front. We went past a yellow gate. And I started screaming, "Stop, stop." And they're going, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "Back up." And as soon as he didn't even stop the car. The guy driving didn't even stop the car, and I was out of the car. I jumped that fence, and I'm sobbing, Eric, Sean, and Juan. I'm sobbing like a baby. Running up this road, I found the place where I stood and talked to the Bigfoot daddy. I went down across the field, across the creek, and went over and found that lean-to.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Now, how do you explain that?
I don't have an explanation.
I either.
Wow. That's interesting.
I never poo-poo anything, guys. I never poo-poo anything. If you tell me you had an experience of some kind, I say good for you.
Have you ever had anything even close to that type of experience before or since?
No. No. Robert is a Buddhist. I wouldn't say he's a Buddhist, but he is very interested into Buddhism.
Mm-hmm.
And I started reading some books about Buddhism and that religion. I love reading anything that I can read. I'll read any. I'll read the back of a toilet paper wrapper. But you know, they talk about how the out of body experiences and stuff like that. You know, and all this stuff is related how people have died. Floated up, looked on their body, looked at the doctors and their family crying and this and that, and then they come back. Well, the Buddhists believe, and I'm not an expert on this whatsoever. I'm just trying to recollect some of the things that I have read, that they believe that you can leave your body, but you should never do it alone. You should never do it without somebody else being in the room with you, because there's a possibility that you might not come back. So you always want somebody experienced there to kind of guide you and make sure that things go great or go right. With myself, this was something that I wasn't expecting. I would have never have thought that anything like this would have ever happened. But Eric, guys, I walked right over to that lean-to.
That's amazing.
I found it.
It's almost like you had an astral projection incident or maybe a remote viewing incident as well. I mean, it's, when you come back and then, you feel, when you wake up, you feel like, you're cold and you feel like it actually had happened. That's kind of hard to explain, but, I mean, it sounds like maybe one of the two or a combination somehow.
Well, I've always been open to things. You know, we're born with blinders.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was raised in church. I absolutely believe in God. Believe me, when I had cancer back in 2007, I did my share of praying and talking to the big guy. But there's a lot of things, and I'm not going to turn this into a religious conversation either, because that's a whole nother realm. But, it's just, they talk about the boogeyman and the devil, and there are things to keep you in check, to keep you in line. The Native American mothers used to tell their kids that if they went out of the light of a campfire, that the boogeyman would get them. That's how they held them close, We're told that when we die, we either go to heaven or we go to hell. Well, guess what, guys? I'm here to tell you, that ain't right.
Mm-hmm.
There are people here, and I'm leaping into the ghost stuff, but, I mean, there are people here for a reason, and people here that they don't know why, but you don't. These people aren't in heaven, and they're not in hell. They're here. So, I don't know. I don't know enough about this stuff. I've tried to read it. I've tried to find somebody that could explain this to me, how I could have left my house and gone about 30 or 40 miles south of my house, helped this Bigfoot build a lean-to, and then 2 months later I'd find it. I can't explain it. But you know what? It was the greatest thing in my life. It was one of the greatest things that ever happened.
Yeah, it's almost like you had a remote view. I mean, when you project your mind, it's almost like it's an actual physical experience, and you're seeing. But you also physically felt it like an astral projection episode. So, I don't know which one it was or if it was both, but it's very interesting. And you stated something when you said it, that when you're born, you've got blinders on. And I absolutely agree with that. I mean, you hear, and a lot of the research I've done, I mean, it's, children see some things that we don't even see as well. And you know about this. I mean, they see
absolutely
entities, They see all kinds of different types of entities. They describe all kinds of different people or things that they're seeing. And it's just that, you know, their minds haven't been, you know, haven't been told, or they haven't been told about the, you know, about society.
They haven't been tainted.
Yeah, they haven't been tainted. They haven't been told you can't see that.
Right.
So, yeah, right. I agree with that 100%.
So it's just, I don't poo-poo anything, man. I mean, when somebody tells me that they had this happen, I had another instance that Robert and I were going up to Ashtabula. We had got a call up there from this neat little old farm lady. She lived on a farm by herself, and she swore up and down that the Bigfoot people fed her husband's dogs. Her husband had passed away, and he had a bunch of hunting dogs, and she just hated to get rid of them because that was kind of her tie to him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she swore up and down that the Bigfoot would feed those dogs. Well, she called Robert one day, and she said, there was one staring in my window. I'm telling you, there was one staring in my window. So we were going to meet up there. Well, it was in July, and it was, I don't know, 90, 95 degrees. It was freaking miserable. And when I get home at that time, my wife would pick up the kids, and, you know, I would be home for probably 15 or 20 minutes by myself, and then she would come home with the boys. And I had a ritual, you know, and it's a ritual she hated, but I did it. I throw my keys on the table and go in and use the bathroom and then go in and change and then, you know, get ready to do whatever I was going to do. Well, I was in a hurry, and I threw my keys in, went in and changed, got my Bigfoot stuff that I usually took with me, come out, my keys are gone. They're gone. Well, nobody's in the house. Where'd my keys go? So I'm looking all over the place, and I know in my mind I heard that sound of my keys hitting that table as I did every other day of my life. So I'm tearing the place apart. Robert's waiting for me. I can't get a hold of him. And it was just, I don't know, it was 15, 20 minutes, 25 minutes, something like that. I kind of lost track because I was in a hurry and I had an hour and a half drive. I walked past my closet and something told me to look in the closet. You guys ever have that? Just a voice or something, just do this or do that. And you just don't question it. You do it.
Yeah.
Of course, unless it tells you to jump off a bridge. But
I think Lon did.
I looked in the closet, and I mean, all that's there is, you know, coats and different things. So I started shaking these coats, and I shook my winter coat, guys. January, 90, 95 degrees outside. I did not have that coat on. I shook that coat. Inside the inside pocket of my coat are my keys.
Interesting.
All right. I get in the car. I start going up. I'm going up the road. I'm about half an hour into my trip. Traffic comes to a dead stop. I can see, you know, flashing lights, this, that. Must have been a wreck or something. I don't know. I get up there, pull up to finally get my turn, pull up beside the cop. I said, what happened? He said, it's a horrible wreck. He said, about 20, 25 minutes ago, some people was crossing the intersection here. Some drunk guy came through and T-boned them, and they're dead. Guess what?
That could have been you.
Closest I can remember, about 20 or 25 minutes prior to that, I would have been coming through there.
Yep.
Do you believe in guardian angels? I do.
Oh, I do, absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, we have a call on the line. Steve, do you mind taking a call tonight?
Absolutely not.
All right, let's go to the 724 area code.
No, I meant I absolutely not do not mind.
I knew what you meant.
No calls.
Okay.
No calls tonight. No calls, no. I knew what you meant. We're going to go to the 724 area code. I believe I know who this gentleman is. Is this Brian Seach?
Yes, hello, Eric. How you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Good. How you doing, Sean? I'm on.
Great, right. Brian.
Hey, Before I ask Steve a question, I'd just like to tell you I actually got to talk to the original eyewitness for the Butler Gargoyle, and he actually called me up on Friday night, and I spent about an hour and 45 minutes on the phone with him and learned a lot of interesting things happening up there. So we hope to be getting up there after he's going through some surgery, and he claims he's going to take us around there and show us some of these areas. And
that's good.
A lot of different stuff going on up there, Lon, and we're definitely going to keep you guys posted on what's going on.
Oh, excellent.
Did you say a gargoyle?
Yes, and here's what I wanted to ask you, Steve. First of all, hey, thanks for all the work you've been doing. We think you do a great job.
Well, it's my pleasure, brother.
And the thing that I did want to ask you, we were speaking up in me and Fred were speaking up. This is about 5 years ago at a Butler Men's Club. They invited us up to speak on Bigfoot, and one of the guys there said that two of his friends actually were hunting across from the Ravenna Arsenal, and he claimed that they saw this winged entity, which they actually said looked like a gargoyle. Have you received any of those reports, or have you received any reports of any of these dogmen or werewolf-type creatures? We investigated two cases up there at Cuyahoga Falls about 6 years ago. I just wonder if you ever received any of those cases.
No, you know, I never have. And as a matter of fact, just you mentioning this, I've heard of, you know, that, you know, you got the chupacabra, you got the mothman, you got this, you got that. I've never heard of anything about a gargoyle. So I've heard a lot of strange things, but I got to tell you, that's a biggie right there. I've watched the gargoyle.
This thing up there around Butler, now it's actually been seen in Butler County and the county just beside it as well. There's an actual area.
Yeah.
I tell you, the description, it does remind you of a gargoyle.
Huh. Yeah. Well, like I said, I'll never poo-poo anything, man. So, I mean, this guy is obviously seeing something.
Yeah, one of the interesting things, and I'll be talking about this coming Saturday at Cambridge. I uncovered an older report, and you'll be interested in this, Lon. And believe me, I keep telling, but I am going to be getting some stuff together for you. It's been crazy, all these conferences and things, what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
We have a drawing from a sighting that happened in Allentown. I believe it's in 1993. It was in an old newsletter that I have, and you know, Eric knows that I archive a lot of stuff, and we have a tremendous amount of things downstairs. And this drawing, if you put that drawing, the side drawing of what this lady saw in Allentown in 93, and you put it up against the Butler Gargoyle, it almost looks like it's eerily similar. It sends chills down your spine. And Eric, well, I know Eric, you'll be there Saturday. You'll get to see it. It sent chills down my spine line when you put the two together. And this was years in the same, only in the same state, but a great, great distance away. So I just wondered if Steve had seen anything. And one other question for Steve. I had heard a lot about a lot of Bigfoot sightings in the Berlin Reservoir. That seems to be a hot spot that's really not mentioned. Is it purposely being kept quiet up there? Or
no, I don't think. You know, I cannot tell you how many times that Robert and I used to go out and do a lot of speaking engagements, and I've kind of got away from it. But people used to come up and say, hey, don't tell anybody, but I saw this, you know. And every other channel has a Bigfoot show on. So it's become more acceptable. But nobody's keeping anything quiet. There are some people that don't want, you know, people traipsing around their property. You know, so they keep things quiet as far as that goes. But, I mean, there's nobody up here. I would say it's pretty out in the open. I mean, you know, Tim Stover, I think, does a thing up at West Branch. You know, do you guys know Tim?
Yeah.
Yeah, we do.
Great guy.
Kind of funny. He is my wife's cousin.
Oh.
Huh.
And he had his experience at West Branch about a month before I did, almost in the same area.
Wow.
I remember his in 92.
Small world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, no, I don't think anybody's.
That's all that I had. I just want to hop back up on and listen to you. And again, you know, thanks for doing a great job, and thanks for coming on the show tonight.
I'll come back anytime, guys.
Okay, take care, guys. We'll see you.
Okay, Brian, see you next weekend, buddy.
Bye.
All right, it's that simple, folks. If you would like to call in tonight and ask a question of Steve or talk to Steve, the number is toll-free 1-877-677-2858. Again, toll-free 877-677-2858, or you can call the alternate number 724-824-1494, 724-824-1494, and you are listening to Beyond the Edge Radio live here on the Para X Radio Network. Eric Altman, Lon Strickler, Sean Forker with you in the house tonight, and our guest Steve Jones. Now, I have a question for you, Steve. With all your experience in Bigfoot research, and I know you said you've had some experiences might be tying UFOs in, have you ever had any experiences that involve strange lights in the forest scene around the time a Bigfoot would be experienced or Bigfoot were around?
No, but I've heard of people that have had weird things, and all I got to know is what it could be. I mean, you know, when you go into the woods on a moonlit night, man, on a full moon, and that was one of my favorite kind of nights because we didn't even use flashlights, then. It was so bright. There's a lot of stuff that, that could cause those lights. It could be the moon shining off, a creek or a wet rock or a wet leaf. But, I mean, there's a hundred different explanations. But there also might be something to it, I have never had that experience.
I personally have on a couple different occasions where I've seen what I call them ghost lights. That's the only way to really explain them. It's like somebody's carrying a lantern through the forest, and you can see the light bobbing up and down as somebody walks. I've seen several different colored lights. Don't know what they are, don't know what they mean, if they're even related, but I have seen them in areas where there's been Bigfoot activity or have had experiences. And I was just curious to know if you've had any encounters or experiences like that.
Not in the woods, but now when we're in an area, when we're doing a spirit investigation, I see lights like that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's a good possibility that, that could be a residual haunting. There could be some kind of spirit activity out there. I mean, you're out in the woods, and we're in an area where, a lot of people died. There was big battles between the Native Americans and the white man in this area, and even in the area that you were. And those spirits, only God knows how old some of these spirits that we talk to are. I don't know. So, that could certainly explain that. I have seen those lights in rooms. I've seen them in buildings and stuff like that, but I've never had that experience in the woods.
Okay.
Hmm. You had talked about, you're with a paranormal group now, Steve, and you've been doing this for some time. What's the most interesting case that you've been involved with?
We do a lot of different things. We like to, our group is Team Spectre, and we've got, I think, right around 12 folks, kind of like in the inner circle. But when we go into a place, as a matter of fact, we're going to Hillview here at the end of June. You guys aren't that far from Hillview.
Nope.
That place is freaking crazy. It is crazy. And that's some of the best experience that I've had. In fact, what we do is we do a lot of things as a team, but there are so many people out there that, because of Zach and his crew and then the ghost hunters and some of the they've brought ghost hunting, or at least the possibility that ghosts exist, out to the forefront, as they have with Bigfoot.
Mm.
So there's a lot of people that would like to do this, don't have the equipment, don't know where to go, so we take them with us. And we have these events. We'll book the place for a night. We'll keep it small. One thing that I have found, and also with the Bigfoot, when we go out into the woods, keep your groups small.
All right.
And when I say, no, don't bring a bunch of short people. Limit them. Limit the number. I have a greater time. I have just the things happen more when there's not such a big group.
Oh, especially
so
Bigfoot.
Keep that in mind. Yeah, you know, you have to remember, you know, these people, and I say people, I hear people call them creatures and animals and everything else. They're not, they're people. They have thumbs just like we do. They have the helix or the big toe just like we do. You don't have to be a scientist to understand that. you know, they are people. They have an articulated speech pattern. Have you ever been in the woods at 3 o'clock in the morning, dead quiet, and you hear what sounds like a very angry Chinaman yelling?
Yep. I have. I thought it was Sean.
Okay. Well, somebody took his Kung Pao chicken.
Damn.
I've heard that many, many times. Ron Moorhead stuff. I've heard that you guys have heard those.
Those sounds.
I've heard some of those sounds as well. It's crazy, but I think my opinion that you're going to have greater success if you keep your group smaller. That it's not that they're intimidated, but you know they don't trust us. They're curious. I think they're just as curious about us as we are about them. But you know, in bigger groups. I just think that I wouldn't say intimidated, but they're a little more shy to do things. One of the experiences that we had in my backyard, a buddy, one of the guys that's in the ghost group with us, just got a new thermal camera.
Mm-hmm.
And he was all excited. And let me tell you something, that thing is awesome. Awesome. We got a handprint down at Mansfield. We heard something follow us into a room and found a handprint, the heat signature of a handprint. It was crazy. But anyway, me and the boys were sitting out by the fire one night out here, and it was a late summer, early fall night. We had a big old fire going. We're out there just having a good old time, and I hear some stuff going on in the back. I said, okay, this could be a good night. Now, have you ever heard, the Bigfoot people are great imitators. And one of the things that I've heard them do the most is owl calls, owl hoots. And it sounds like, sometimes it sounds like a real owl, and it depends on what owls that you have in the area. And sometimes it sounds like a very drunk owl. I mean, just, it's an owl sound, but only God knows what kind of a call it is.
Again, well, I thought that was Sean.
Night, Lon giving him a wedgie. we had the fire going, and we heard an owl hoot that was so loud you could feel the vibrations. That's how loud it was. And I called my buddy. It was by 11 o'clock. I said, bring that new camera over here. So he brought it over. And my boys, you know, they get a little freaked about it, and as a lot of people do. And they said, let's go in the woods, let's go in the woods. I said, no, we're not going in the woods. Sit here. Let them get comfortable with us. They're making these sounds to see how we're going to react. So sit here and act like just ignore them. So they did it. They just kept doing it, and we ignored them, and these sounds were just, you know, these hoots. And it was like a hoot that I never heard of. But, guys, they were so loud, they were vibrating the chairs.
Wow, that's loud.
So I said, okay, as soon as my buddy got there with the thermal camera, I said, let's go. So we went traipsing into the woods, and, you know, I'm not quiet when I go through the woods. You are not going to sneak up on one of the Bigfoot. You're not. So don't worry about being quiet and tiptoeing. They know you're there. Just act nonchalant about it. So that's what we did. We walked through the woods, and it sounded like a hippopotamus was running through the woods. Now, it was really late, and it was really dark. But, guys, we could see the heat signature of their footprints on the forest floor with that gun.
That's impressive.
And the strides were crazy. I could have followed them for miles. could have followed him for miles. They were right up behind my house. Or he was, I should say. We only saw the one set of footprints. He was right up behind my house. And we could see the heat signature from his feet on the ground. It was the craziest thing I ever saw. So if you can, save your money and get yourself a good thermal camera. Mm. It will help you. It will help you, most definitely. It was the greatest thing I ever saw.
Well, gentlemen, we're at the bottom of the hour, and we've got to take our 9:30 break, so we're going to go ahead and take care of that, take care of our sponsors, and get that out of the way, and we'll be back with more from our guest tonight, Steve Jones, talking about Bigfoot and the paranormal. And when we do come back from the break, we're going to talk more ghosts in this last half hour and some of interesting experiences that Steve has had and some of the cases he's worked on. So, folks, we invite you to keep it right here to BTE Radio, live on the Para-X Radio Network. We'll be back after the break, so make sure you stay right where you're at.
Where else would you spend your Sunday nights? Beyond the Edge Radio. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the program. This is BTE Radio, Beyond the Edge Radio, as we like to call it, live here on the Para-X Radio Network, Sunday night, 9:36, here on the East Coast. I'm Eric Altman, your host and producer of the program, along with us, Lon Strickler, the Fork Chop, Sean Forker. Joining us on the phone now, our paranormal news correspondent, Amy Perry, and of course, our guest tonight, Steve Jones. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. If you are in the chat room and you have questions, you can put them there in the chat room. We'll get to them as quickly as we can. Or you can call in toll-free at 877-677-2858. Again, 877-677-2858. Let's see if we can blow up Skype tonight. We've done it before, so. But we're talking Bigfoot on the show and paranormal, and that's what we're going to wrap up this half hour with, is talking ghosts and hauntings and all spooky things. Steve, you belong to Team Spectre, and you've been doing research since 2007. What, and Lon asked you about some scary cases. What would you say is the most intense or terrifying experience that you've had, either on a case or just on your own independent research?
I've been touched. I've been hugged. If I had any hair, I'm sure that they would have played with it, but I've had the top of my head, kind of rubbed. I've been fondled. I've been pinched. I've been what I would call burned.
Sounds like Tuesday right here.
Okay, you had me for the burn part.
yeah. It was almost. It kind of. In fact, it happened twice at the same place. Both legs, and it was like somebody took a cigar and just a lit cigar and just burned me. It was weird, but we were in a very dark place. Probably one of the most intense places I've ever seen, and that's the House of Wills up in Cleveland.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of that place.
Yeah, that place, I'm going to tell you something. I guess, I have weird thinkings about some things. I don't like Ouija boards. I don't mess with them. I can deal with what's here. It's what you open up the door to and let in that I don't know what I'm dealing with. I'm not afraid. It's just that I don't know that I can handle that. I don't know that I'm equipped. I don't know that I'm experienced enough. I just don't know. And I don't like doing them. And I don't like dolls. I don't know why. I just don't like dolls.
I don't like Ouija boards either, believe me. Yeah, I had a bad, it's funny. We were up at Phenomenology last year. And Sean can verify this. This guy
got stuck. Sorry.
This guy had set up beside his old Ouija boards.
Oh, I love that guy.
He had those things spread out, and the one that was sitting right beside me, I don't know what the hell this thing had been through.
The skeleton hand planchet?
I almost grabbed that thing, and you know, I was feeling very uncomfortable that day.
I've never seen Lon so agitated.
It was something. I don't know. You know, it just really got to me. But I don't like them anyway. I just don't like them. I don't trust them. I hate the fact that people that have, you know, that mess around with them get themselves in a bind, and then somebody else has got to, you know, got to take care of it for them. It's just, I just don't like them.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, I.
Second.
Yes. Go ahead.
Because I've always been confused with the whole people, like, you know, against Ouija boards. And what makes that any different than tarot cards or pendulums? Or isn't it really the intent?
It's not the fact that you use a divination. It's the fact you don't know what you're doing.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean,
somebody knows what they're doing. But, when somebody's just there playing around or get drunk or sit around the Ouija board and play around, and then when, you know, something comes through, then you got a problem. Yeah, it's just like that with any other divination, when you're using, tarot cards or mirrors or anything else or a crystal ball or, yeah.
Okay, now I always wondered that.
Amy, it's a tool that I don't know how to use.
Okay.
And I'm not experienced enough to handle that, and I'm man enough to say that. So, especially, you know, I don't know that I necessarily believe in the devil and demons and stuff like that, but absolutely, absolutely, there is good and there is evil in this world.
Mm-hmm.
So, I would not want to be responsible of bringing something in that wasn't here before, and then just me walking off and saying, "Okay, have fun with it." You know, it's not something that I'm experienced with. It's not something that I feel comfortable with, and I just don't like doing it. So,
that instance I had up at Phenomenology, the thing was, you know, these type of, you know, just like any other object that can be found, you know, you talk about some doll or the possessed dolls or such, you know, these things carry that negative energy with them. And, you know, this board in particular, I was dying up there that day.
Well, I think I've had people tell me that spirits can attach to objects. Excuse me, something that they like, a chair, a lamp, a doll, something like that. Something that makes them comfortable wherever they're at.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I just thought it's just a weird thing. Some people don't like clowns.
Mm-hmm.
I just got a thing about dolls. You know, when I look at dolls, you think about Chucky.
Mm.
And that's what I always think about. I guess I can't clear my mind enough to get Chucky out of my mind. But it's just one of those weird things. Anytime I walk around and I see a doll, I know that stupid thing's looking at me.
Well, I think the reason behind it is these type of objects, like dolls in particular, you know, children or people are attached to them. Emotionally attached to these things, and I think these energies sense that, and they kind of grab to it as well.
We use them as triggers. One of the best triggers that I've ever used to get the spirits to communicate with us is, number one, is music.
Yeah.
And number two is, especially when we're working a place right now that has a little boy, people keep seeing a little boy in a raincoat. And I've taken like fire trucks and candy and, you know, G.I. Joes and stuff like something that would, you know, attract him, something that would make him feel comfortable around us, to let him know that we're not trying to hurt him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, I don't know, it's just one of my weird things.
It is a trigger. I mean, I've seen other groups try to use it. I don't particularly like going in and doing, you know, just to get responses. You know, when I do,
right.
You know, I'm normally there to try to clear something out. But you know, I have been on these, you know, with groups that have tried to get triggers or EVPs or, you know, tried to get some type of response from it. And, a trigger, I mean, those type of things can be used, and they do work if it's actually done right. I can understand that. If you're going into if you don't have somebody who's clairvoyant or can't pick up on these things and you're just trying to get a response, yeah, that's the way to do it.
Well, it's just like one of the areas that we work up in Ashtabula. It's called Madison Seminary.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that place awesome?
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Is.
Well,
it is.
The older building was first built for, they called it a seminary because that's what they called schools before they actually created a public school system. But it was used as housing for Civil War widows and kids. So I went on YouTube and downloaded a ton of Civil War music. Now, I've learned, and I love the Civil War. I can't get enough information about that. Military bands were very, very popular at that time. So I downloaded a bunch of military bands playing that era of music and went up and played it, and it was crazy. It was crazy. The things that happened were nuts. And I think I went in there and I told them, I said, hey, I have a surprise for you. I got some music that I think you're going to like. And you know what? They liked it. And they cooperated with it.
I think the thing, like, if you're going to use trigger things, and like you were saying, Lon, you know, it's all about you got to take into consideration what you're trying to connect with as people.
Right.
So I know, you know, for myself, I would connect with things that resonated with me, you know, not machine guns or somebody threatening to, you know, violence if I don't communicate, or, you know, so yeah, dolls, puppies, music, Eric, music, cemeteries, music, like it. But yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Sounds like a reoccurring theme.
Well, I mean, you know, we go down to Prospect Place down in Trinway. Prospect Place is probably one of the biggest, if not the biggest, stopover on the Underground Railroad. So I went on, and after I started, you know, using this music up at Madison, I said, well, you know what? There was all kinds of slaves, you know, down in Prospect Place. So I went on YouTube, and YouTube's great, man. You can find anything on YouTube. And I found this album called Negro Gospels is what it was called, Negro Gospels. And it was songs back from that time, during the Civil War and stuff like that, but songs that they sang. And I downloaded a bunch of this stuff and took it down there and played it, and it worked. It was familiar to them. Mm. You know, and the one thing that we don't do, our group, we don't provoke. When we go into an area, whether we've been asked to come into a private residence or we go to a place like Hillview, the first thing that I like to do is go walk around, introduce myself, and say, hey, we're going to be here tonight, and we would love to talk to you. You know, that's their home. And, you know, Eric, if you invite me over to your house for spaghetti dinner and I come in and start treating you nasty, what are you going to say to me? You're going to tell me, get out.
I'm going to throw spaghetti at you.
Yeah, and I hate spaghetti. But, I mean, it's just that I don't think that provoking does anything. Now, you know, there may be a time where you get a reaction, but it may not be a reaction that you necessarily want. I think that if you keep it in small groups and you act as though you are respecting their home, you're going to get more cooperation from them. You're going to get more communication from them. We had, and it was funny, we went to this place, and I don't believe in these, I can't say I don't believe. I don't put much credence in these phone apps like these ghost radars and stuff, but I've seen it enough to where, you know what, the stupid things, they may work. We went into an area. In fact, we were down at Prospect Place, and we were talking, and one of the ladies that we had with us in that group had this thing going. And, you know, I was trying desperately. They weren't cooperating for some reason that night. They just didn't want to communicate with us. And I said, guys, what's wrong? I said, you know, we're down here all the time. You know us. And I can't remember what ghost app it was, but the next three words that came up was not circus freak.
Okay. You know what? That's weird that you said that, because I was going to say, I hate when people act like they're supposed to perform, too. I'm like, you know, why do they have to perform?
But I how else could I take that?
Yeah.
Sean wasn't there, was he?
Bite me, Eric.
Aw, quit picking on poor Sean.
Oh, he's going to get it. We're going to be in Phenomicon, and we're going to be in Ohio. Phenomena. Zayton. He's going to get
it. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things that, you know, we use. I have a bunch of tools that we use. I love dowsing rods.
Mm-hmm.
Dowsing rods are awesome. But, you know, I how am I to take that when the next three words out of that thing, when I asked them, why don't you guys want to talk to us tonight, it said, not circus freak.
That's pretty clear.
It was pretty clear to me.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just, I talk to these folks, and I even hate calling them ghosts, because I feel it's almost disrespectful. I talk to them just like they were here, and they are here. It's just, they're people without bodies. That's all. People without bodies.
Well, guys, we're getting towards the
almost 9:55.
Yeah, we're getting towards the end of the show. We've got about 4 minutes left, so let's try to wrap things up here if we can. Steve, tell us if you're going to be around, appearing anywhere, or doing any ghost hunts, or even how people can tune into your outdoor radio show.
Well, we do our radio show. It's an outdoor show, hunting, fishing, camping. If you can do it in the outdoors, we talk about it. We're on Fox Sports 1350 every Monday at 6. And you can listen to it on iHeartRadio as well. And then they replay the show on Saturday mornings at 6 o'clock, and sometimes they replay it throughout the week. But we've got a public hunt that they're doing, which, by the way, is sold out at Hillview coming up. We want to try to get up to Madison. We always go to Prospect Place. Our crew, before I joined them, filmed with Zach. If you see Zach and Aaron and Nick at Prospect Place, our group, Team Spectre, was with them when they filmed that show.
Oh, great.
Okay.
And, in fact, I have a recorded. It's funny when Zach's saying, "This is the doorway to hell, let me in," or something like that. But, which, by the way, it's not the doorway to hell. But anyway, I really don't get out. Pardon me?
I said everything's a doorway to hell to him.
Well, with him, it can be, yeah. You know, if people actually filmed what we do when we're ghost hunting, sometimes it would be 4 hours of people sitting around in a dark room doing absolutely nothing. You know, so it would not make great TV. Sometimes you have to embellish things. So, but Eric, I really don't get out and talk about the Bigfoot stuff or the ghost stuff too much. Every now and then I just, I kind of backed off of that and let other people do it. It's just, I don't know. There's a lot of people with a lot of different attitudes about it, and I, you know, quite frankly, I just don't want to deal with it. I do my own thing, and, you know, if you don't like what I'm doing, don't listen.
Well, we're very long overdue, Steve, to get together and do some squatching out in the woods.
Let's do it, buddy.
I know you've been to Salt Fork. I'm going to be in Salt Fork in April and in May. Doing a couple weekends coming up for Creature Weekend and for the Ohio Bigfoot Conference. And any weekend that you're available, you give me a shout, let me know. We'll hook up and hit the woods out in Salt Fork, or even come over to Pennsylvania. I'll show you some of my stomping grounds.
Yeah, we'll have to give our old buddy Rob Hipp a call.
Oh, yeah. Robert's going to be there in Ohio as well at the Ohio Bigfoot Conference.
He's a good
brother,
dude.
Bob.
He's come on. Go ahead.
Brother Bob is what Sean called him.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought, yeah, Brother Bob, he's a good dude.
Yeah.
He went with us down to Prospect Place here not long ago.
Oh, cool.
And, that's a great place.
Yeah, it is a great place.
We're doing monthly ghost investigations or spirit investigations at the Canton Palace Theater. Every first Friday, we take folks that have never done this before or have done it, and we go into the theater. The theater asks us to come in, and that place is just loaded with spirits. And we go in there from 10 to 2. If you go on SpectreOnline.com, TeamSpectreOnline.com, I do that website, and I put up all of our events on there, and you can always email us or give us a call, and feel free to join us anytime.
We appreciate
Team
that.
Team Spectre? Is that just for Eric, or can I peek too?
you can, anybody can peek. And Spectre is S-P-E-C-T-R-E, not E-R.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, TeamSpectreOnline.com.
And it's on our website, BeyondTheEdgeRadio.com. If you go to the main page and just scroll down, there's links for your radio program and Team Spectre. So check that out.
You're awesome, brother.
Well,
you're awesome,
Steve. Thanks for coming on tonight, man. We really appreciate it and spending some time with us. And we're going to have to get you back on again because I know there's a lot more Bigfoot stories you have to share and ghost stories to share with us. So we'll have to get you back on with us real soon.
Oh, dude, there's so much to talk about.
Great.
I've been doing this a long time.
I know you have, and there's a lot to talk about, as you said, and we'll try to work something out to get you back on for another Sunday night.
You give me a call, we'll do it, brother.
Sounds good, man. You have a great night. Thanks for joining us, Steve.
All right, see y'all.
Take care now.
Bye.
Nice. Bye-bye.
Steve Jones joining us here on the program tonight on BTE Radio. What a great guy, and a fun time talking about Bigfoot and ghosts and hauntings, and it's one of our two of our favorite subjects here on the program.
Great show.
Very interesting stuff.
Always is. Always is. Next week on the program, we've got an attorney and a Freemason joining us, Robert Sullivan.
No attorneys.
And he has written a book about the occult and Freemasonry. The book is called The Royal Arch of Enoch, The Impact of Masonic Ritual Philosophy and Symbolism. His website is, I believe it's Robert W. Sullivan, IV.com, I believe is what it is. I don't have it right up in front of me, and I'll get it here in a second for you. But
yeah, that was what you sent me.
Yeah, Robert Sullivan, Robert W. Sullivan, IV.com. You could check that out and take a look at his different videos that are on there and some of his thoughts and theories about the Masons. We're going to have him on next week to talk about Freemasons, symbolism, their involved possible involvement in the occult. It's going to be a great time talking, our first time actually talking about the Masons. And what Robert thinks about. Guys, I know we're going to have a fun show next week.
Oh, yeah, I'll be ready for that one.
I think we'll be silenced afterwards, won't we?
Probably.
We don't talk about the Masons.
Nobody silences me.
Okay.
That's true.
Many have tried and many have failed.
That is true. So a great show to look forward to next week. And then I'll be at the Unexplained event in Cambridge, Ohio, at the library there in Cambridge from 10 to 6 on Saturday, March the 29th. And I will be lecturing on Bigfoot. And Brian Seach will be there, Fred Saluga, and Jody Cook, we just found out, will be there. I believe Linda Godfrey, who talks about the werewolves and dogmen. She's coming from Wisconsin over to the event. So
Wow. That's
going to be a great event. And it's free, absolutely 100% free for everybody to check out. And then the following weekend, I will be, and Amy will be there too, at the Butler Paranormal Conference, the 7th annual Butler Paranormal Conference taking place at in Linwood at the Tanglewood Senior Center. That starts at 10 a.m., $10 admission charge on that. Some great speakers, as we talked about earlier in the show. So April and May are going to be very busy months for me. I will be on the road again, like I usually am, and a lot of fun. Also want to throw this out real quick. I did an interview with WWE superstar Chris Jericho. He has a podcast called Let's Talk Jericho, and we recorded that on Friday afternoon, and that'll be released for everybody to hear probably in the next week or so. And when it does come out, it'll be announced on my Facebook page, and it'll be available for everybody to check out. You can also go to iTunes. So if you want to hear Chris Jericho, the professional wrestler, talk with me about Bigfoot, now's your chance.
Damn right.
That's right. I made the big time now.
He did. He's airs all over the place, guys.
Yeah, so. Well, guys, we've about come to the end of the program. I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. Thank you, Lon, Sean, and Amy, for joining us a little late, but better than never. Great show with Steve, our guest, Steve Jones. And any closing thoughts before we call it a night?
All I can say is we'll see everybody next week. Should be a great show.
Yeah, I agree with Lon. Everybody next week, we'll be back with a live show again. Amy, Lon, myself, and Eric, if we don't lose Eric somewhere along the line on one of these journeys he's been taking. Maybe he's going to slip into a wormhole or something.
If only I was so lucky.
Easy, Pilgrim. Easy.
All right, guys, we got to roll. Stick around for Revenant Radio coming up next here on the Para X Radio Network. Y'all have a great night, and we'll catch you next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern start time.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, all.
Join us for another live edition of Beyond the Edge Radio, Sunday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the Para-X Radio Network. Archive shows are available on Podomatic, Parapods, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, the Para-X Radio Network, or our official website, beyondtheedgeradio.com. To contact Eric, Ron, or Sean, email us at beyondtheedgeradio@gmail.com. Beyond the Edge Radio is a Beyond the Edge entertainment production heard here on the Para-X Radio Network.